This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Health and Living, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, sitting in for Lin, who has no voice. Japan's birth rate hit a record low in 2014 at just about 1,000,000 infants. When combined with 1.3 million deaths in the same year, that's a deepening population crisis. According to Japan's Population Institute, the overall population could dip to 107 million by 2040, or 20 million lower than what it is today. Is Japan providing a glimpse of all our futures? Well, I have Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S.-licensed marriage and family therapist, with Sachiko Yamashiro, clinical psychologist. We're going to be talking about celibacy, the syndrome in Japan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
somebody paint for me this picture. What exactly is the problem? You know, the introduction seemed to suggest that people are not having sex, which is not necessarily true. People are just not having babies.
Well, that's a very important question, right? Whether it's correlation or causation, right? We talk about that, right? Just because two things may be correlated doesn't mean one causes the other. So just because you're having less sex doesn't mean that it necessarily leads to less children, and vice versa.
Okay, let's look at the Japanese picture. What is the trend there?
So Japan's birth rate has been declining in recent years. This is due to a few reasons. So increase the number of unmarried people and late marriage and late birth due to the economic hardship. So among men in their 20s to 30s, their income increase slowly.
So economic reasons are causing people, or are making people, defer marriages to a much later date.
That's what it sounds like, yes.
Yep, that's right.
It's all about the money.
At the end of the day, it's the economy. Stupid. Who was that that I was quoting? I think it was Margaret Thatcher, if I'm not mistaken. It's the economy, stupid. Meaning a lot of things are driven back down to the survival of the, you know, of the individual, of the human species.
Yeah. So now in Japan, poor working class has recently been increasing. So we have condition where they cannot get married even they want to. And they cannot have one more baby even they want to.
Is there a kind of parallel with what's going on in Malaysia?
We do know from recent statistics that birth rate is also declining here. So I think it was in 2015 that there was a published, I think, in the Malay Mail, that the birth rate is going from, has come in 2012, it was a little bit above 2 children per household, and it's going to start going down to about, I think it was a 1.7 or 1.9. I can't remember exactly.
Is this an urban phenomenon as opposed to rural phenomenon? I mean, Japan is very much a first world, therefore more people live in urban areas, and because you live in urban areas, the cost of living is high and all that. So we are not quite there yet, right?
Well, I think it's a very interesting and important question. Does being in an urban lifestyle also lead to a decrease in birth rates? I would say that you can see that across the world. A lot of it driven by economy, but I think there's another factor, and that is we want to have more quality upbringing of children. So there isn't a village that you can, a kampong, that you can just run around as children anymore in the urban setting. And children, you know, are heavily tasked with all kinds of activities as well. So parents not having the village to raise the children, both maybe working in some capacity, also don't have that much time or resource to raise up 3 kids. You know, 1 or 2 is enough. So there are other sociological, economic factors at work with that, I think.
Beyond the economy, are there other factors?
Other factors? Yes.
Because one of the things that have come out is about millennials are not having Or I'd be celibate than two generations ago.
I question whether not having sex means they are not being sexual. You know, I do wonder if they're still being sexual, but maybe more self-stimulation, use of porn. In fact, Sachiko and I were talking about this question. And is it possible that with the internet coming on, and this is a new phenomenon, there's so much access to sex online that the millennials, having been exposed to it at an earlier age, is sort of desensitized to what sex is. I remember when I was a young teenager, I had no idea how sex worked. I literally had no idea. There was a lot of mystery and a lot of looking forward to that day, you know.
Your teachers didn't talk about it.
Not in enough detail. Let's put, you know, biology of the human person doesn't necessarily mean how it works.
But going back to this idea about millennials not engaging.
Not so much interested in having sex.
Yeah, at least there's some study published by the Archives of Sexual Behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there are a few reasons. And one is decline of face-to-face interactions with others. Yeah, so because the youth prefer to use texting when communicating, especially for emotionally difficult topics. Yeah, so in Japan also, when we want to discuss something more important or more serious things, they always use the chatting.
Really?
Yeah.
Chatting apps.
Chatting apps.
Wow.
Yeah. So when they have some trouble in the school with their friends, they also chat their teacher about it. So we don't have any direct communication about the serious kind of things.
It's kind of like avoiding conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
They are avoidant. Yeah. They want to avoid conflict.
With this kind of things happening, what can we anticipate about our relationships and leading to sexual relationships?
I think things are changing, basically.
Which means, they are changing, but what are some foreseeable consequences?
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. The buzzword is disruptive technologies, right? So as the internet...
But as far as people talk about disruptive technologies, you're like, it disrupts businesses so that new business models come up. It looks like now we are talking about disruptive technologies disrupting our very personal lives.
How can you take social out of business? Who buys business products and services is human. So when you disrupt, you have disruptive technologies disrupting how businesses run or the products, it affects social lives. So we don't really think about that so much, but there are huge consequences. But I'm not really that worried about it. I'm just kind of excited. I have no issues with change. But I'm just interested in the directions that we're going and sort of watching. And you know, a show like this, you know, allows us to talk about it at a larger level.
I'm speaking with John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, Sachiko Yamashiro, clinical psychologist, about Japan's celibacy syndrome. This is BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. And in the studio with me is Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage therapist, who is here for his monthly show. This time, we are discussing Japan's celibacy syndrome. Joining us also is Sachiko Yamashiro, clinical psychologist. You know, we've kind of talked about it's the economy, stupid. It's the it's this thing about not wanting to confront, and therefore texting becomes the mode of communication. Mm-hmm. What about on the other side? You know, we are Asians, and for Asians, family is important, getting married is important. Mm-hmm. How does that function as a counterweight to what's going on?
I think we have to take the position that sex is natural and that procreation is an instinctual drive in the human species and all species. So on that basis, then, it is going to happen, but it may not happen in a sense of leading to a lot of children, right? In terms of being close and getting married and being a happy family, social media also promotes that. You know, gatherings are easier to organize now. The ability to be in touch, even though you are miles apart, is also enabled you know, mostly, first of all, family and then friends. So intimacy is changing into to be enabled by distance. So I don't necessarily think, as I'm listening to your question, that intimacy is less.
No, I'm not saying intimacy is less. What I'm saying is that here you have a declining population because of the economy, in the sense that because of the economy, people don't want to have children because it costs a lot. It's also because people are not meeting face-to-face because of the texting. So people tend to be less sociable in a different way, but they're less sociable. And yet there is on the Asian side this kind of mandate to get married, to have children, to have families. Seems to me they're at opposite ends.
I don't necessarily see that as opposite ends.
What do you think, Shichiko? You're nodding though you... I think she understands where I'm coming from.
Okay, so to talk about the less communication, it's about less intimacy, and that because of their way of communication is changing, less directory and...
I think I have different ideas in my head compared to yours.
Go
so
ahead.
I'm having some trouble understanding where you're coming from. I think the way I think is that social media, the internet, is still very human. It is not less human. It's just the internet for me, social media, is a highway of interactivity that enables more frequent and also distance to be collapsed. So we are still relating, but it's changing how we relate.
True.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. So I work with couples, and I work with couples dealing with sex. So we talk about dating each other online, and sometimes even they will have sexual exchanges online with each other. I'm talking about even married couples who travel abroad. So understanding, that's how I see it, because that's how I work with couples, it doesn't really mean there is less intimacy just because there's more social media or internet.
No, I'm not talking about less intimacy. I'm talking also about less marriages.
Because of increased...
Because of the economy.
Yes.
People, traditionally, women get married because they don't have the economic means. Now they do.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but now, even with the economic means, some are... In fact, women find it that I don't need to get married because I don't need a man.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So things are changing. But on the other hand, we have a kind of an Asian mandate that you must be married. Otherwise, you're a... Individually, personally, you are a failure. How do people reconcile these things?
I think the culture changes. Cultures change all the time. And when the world gets smaller, we are more able to interface with more cultures. And so our cultures, I think, will eventually harmonize down to a few different cultures, maybe 10 or 20 around the world. That's what I think is happening. Rather than, you know, thousands of different cultures around the world.
So the stigma of not being married really is becoming less a stigma, or maybe not even a stigma anymore, because in other cultures, it's not perceived as a problem.
That's right.
Yeah. Also in Japan, once we also had the same thoughts about remaining single. But that perspective, it has changed since it becomes such an economic hardship. So to get married, so no one sees singleness and staying with their parents as a personal failure.
Let me lead to some initiatives that I've seen happening. I mean, I think Singapore sees itself having similar kinds of issues with dropping population and people not having children, and to the extent even before that, people are not getting married. So the government has come up with, you know, the love boat, right? Same thing happening in Japan.
Love boat? I've never heard about it in Japan. So we have kind of matchmaking service as a private level. We have a lot of private matchmaking service, but I never heard government has a matchmaking service.
Singapore is kind of special. So, but it's a very interesting question, having the state come in to ignite more romance and, you know, marital and activity.
I mean, part of our research, he says, in response, the Japanese government introduces matchmaking services, wants 80% of fathers to take paternity leave, while also increasing support for childcare.
So it's a top-down approach, effective,
right? Yeah, apparently the Japanese government is taking that kind of a approach.
Yeah, but I think...
Does it work?
Yeah, I think we don't have any government matchmaking service. I don't think it effective, because the last year, only 2% of fathers took paternity leave during the last year, and 40% of them took only 1 to 5 days of it. So
you're saying that the article is not correct?
Yeah, but government wants to 80% of fathers to take paternity leaves, but it's not effective.
How do you think young people see what's going on in terms of that, you know, that we're becoming an aging population, that we don't have enough young people to replace the old ones?
I don't know how young people think, but I know how I think. If you are you interested in what I have to say, I'll tell you anyway. So I'm not really worried about declining birth rates around the world. I think there are way too many humans that we're having trouble coping with how to sustain ongoing increasing birth rates around the world. I'm glad of declining birth rates because the earth needs to feed so many people. Now, two other factors that I think are important is the aging population. People are growing older and healthier and longer. Right? So they are going to be, you know, 80 years old and say, I can still work. Why not? I've got a good 15, 20 years left. Why won't I work? I'll work. I'll do this job. I'll do that job. And then if you have the same amount of young people coming into the workforce that the old people are not leaving, what's going to happen? Secondly, technology, disruptive technologies, is making taxi cabs become irrelevant in the future. It's going to make doctors in some way irrelevant in the future because a lot of things will be automated. So you're going to have less and less possibilities of how to make money. So if we're going to have less population in the future from 7 billion, you know, down to 5 billion, why not? I'm okay with that.
But we are seeing the trends happening in like what is considered the developed countries. Meaning that in the developed countries, aging population takes over in, and therefore, in a sense, that the population is shrinking. In less developed countries, we are still seeing the increasing population.
Yes.
So when you kind of talk about the world can the earth cannot sustain, it's happening in different parts of the world.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it's slightly for me it's slightly different. What's happening in developed countries? They are all trying to find some kind of solution for their aging population. I mean, even in Denmark, you have Do It for Denmark is an ad campaign to encourage Danes to have more sex, to help the country's falling population.
That's right.
So definitely this lack of heterosexual sex to procreate is an issue in developed countries.
Yeah, but we have to be careful not necessarily to link the lack of interest in sex to mean the same as a declining birth rate. Again, correlation is not causality. So we want to be careful when we talk about it, not interchangeably, the two different things happening. Yeah, with multiple factors affecting them. So I don't equate the two as causational, but I think they are correlated. You can have a couple, right? I was just joking with Sachiko earlier. You can have a couple have sex once every year for 5 years and have five children. You can have a couple have 50 times of sex a year and have no children because of contraception. So I don't think we can necessarily say the two are exactly the same thing.
Sure, sure.
But are they correlated? Absolutely. You need to have sex to have children, full stop, right? So yes, you know, the less interest in sex probably will lead to less children, but it's not the same thing, basically.
Where do family therapists like you, what role would you play in the context of, you know, an aging population, meaning that, you know, you see what we see what's happening in other countries. We see campaigns like the Love Boat in Singapore, Denmark with these campaigns. What kinds of roles will you be playing in the context of Malaysia?
Right. So marriage and family therapists have to also understand the developments in our society in order to be better able to help clients. So for instance, so a marriage and family therapy will want to be aware of geriatric care. We're going to have to extend our care to older people more. Yeah. Support groups, which is very lacking here in Malaysia because people are aging. So that's one aspect of care. Using more understanding about how online relationships are affecting face-to-face, in-person. I don't even use face-to-face anymore because that could be online too. I say in-person. How does online connections influence in-person connections? And not only in the family relationships, but in social relationships, and even as a therapist to my client. Because, you know, one, the coaching work that I do are with international clients, and it's through some kind of distance telecommunication, and we enable that. So these are the kinds of things that we want to think about. And how is sex understood by the millennials coming up? We need to ask them so that we can better help them rather than sort of impose what we think. Oh, you need to have sex once a week, then you're healthy. No, I don't take that approach. You know, let me ask you, are you happy? What makes you happy? Are you not happy? What makes you unhappy? Where are the differences between the couple or the family members?
To talk about the younger generation, so we have a kind of word like mendokusai. It's a too troublesome.
Too troublesome to do what?
Too troublesome to do make a relationship, relate to somebody and having a sex. Is kind of too troublesome for them. And from my perspective, so the feeling of troublesome relate to the process of building the relationship, and which requires a lot of attention in Japan. So in general, we have so many unspoken rules and careful consideration to keep social circle and avoid conflict. Then to build relationship is not easy. So when the young people see how easy it is to get an ideal mate in the virtual game,
virtual games.
Virtual games, dating games or something. They start to think it's too difficult to deal with a real relationship, and they become afraid of it. So they say too troublesome, but it seems to me that no confidence for it would be a more accurate phrase in this context.
Yeah. Apparently, the Japanese have talked to their millennials, and so they have a kind of a profile for the millennials. So what would a Japanese family therapist be doing then in this kind of context?
It's a really difficult question. Yeah. So,
but a good one.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, we don't have so much kind of sex therapists in Japan. Yeah, we have a lot of family therapists, but it's now undergoing. Like, it's not famous.
So this is work for sex therapists or family therapists?
Both. Marriage and family therapists have to study sex therapy, but the sex therapist is more specialized.
Yeah.
So is this a sex issue or a family therapist issue?
Everything is a family therapist issue, so even work. I'm curious about, because Sachiko also practices in KL, whether you have come across anything like that here in KL with your Japanese clients.
Japanese.
About the issue of sex.
So far, I don't have any issues of sex with couples.
Okay.
Yeah, just their conflicts or their like broken relationship or something. Mm. But I never heard about sex issues from them. So, yeah. Normally, my supervisor of family therapists in Japan, he usually asks couples, do you have having a sex in the session? But it's for me, he suggested to me to ask them like that. But for me, it's really
very difficult.
Yeah, really difficult. It's really sensitive.
Because you're a woman?
I think that? So. It's my
because
problem.
I ask my couples.
Yeah.
Are you having
yeah,
sex? How
yeah,
often?
I think I have
no
to.
No show and tell, though.
I think I have to, but it's still hard for me to yeah, ask it, ask okay, about it. Yeah.
If I were to ask you to sum up what we have talked about in terms of the aging population, changing dynamics between young people, and therefore the deferment of marriages because of the changing relationships, but also because of the economy, what holds in the future?
Change. And if there's one thing that I would encourage people to do is to be very engaged in trying to understand what is happening and asking questions, rather than sort of freaking out, oh no, our young people are not interested in sex, they're not going to get married, what are we going to do? Relax. Look at the bigger picture. Things are interconnected. It's systemic. Think in that direction.
Being sexual does not necessarily mean being sexual with someone else.
That too. That is another question. Yes.
I'm talking to Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, together with Sachiko Yamashiro, clinical psychologist in Japan. We've been talking about the aging population, the deferment of marriages, some losing intimacy, celibacy. This is Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.